One of the reasons that we're here at InBroker is because we know that people hate buying insurance. It is terrible. You know, it's too expensive. It's too confusing. It takes far too much time. And, you know, I think any kind of feelings people have towards it is that, save for the few special circumstances, that it really stinks.
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fritzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fritzen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show, Be That Lawyer. I'm Steve Fritzen, and if you're listening for the first time, I am a business development coach for lawyers. I've written a few books, I've got this podcast, and I write articles for the Chicago Daily Law Bulletin every month. So hopefully you can check me out there. My website's fretzen.com. Check it out. But more importantly, I have a great guest for today, an old friend of mine and past client, Brad Barkin, who heads up the law firm practice at InBroker. Brad, how are you?
I'm great, Steve. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. And I obviously didn't do justice or anything to your bio. I just said your name and the company you work for. But would you mind giving our listeners a Reader's Digest version of what you do?
Absolutely. So as you said, I head up the law firm practice at InBroker. So InBroker is a technology company that happens to be operating in the insurance space. So we are insurance brokers. And we are in this kind of fintech, insurtech space. We think of ourselves as kind of the tip of the spear in terms of those styles of companies. So what InBroker is doing is trying to improve the way people buy insurance by making it more cost-effective, more time-effective, and just all around easier. Right now, insurance is obviously a very, very necessary product, but there's a lot of pain there because there's so much confusion. It can be an awful buying experience. So InBroker operates in several different industry verticals. Our biggest industry vertical is technology companies, and then our second biggest industry vertical is law firms. We are a San Francisco-based company. We are venture-backed, and our second office is in Chicago. We also have offices in Boston and in New York. So our law firm team sits here in Chicago, which I head up.
Very cool. Very cool. And just to keep things even a little more interesting than insurance to lawyers, is there something about your background that most people don't know that you'd be open to sharing?
Yeah, of course. So like so many people who wind up in insurance, nobody ever dreams, I don't think, of finding themselves in the insurance world when they go to college or when they start their career. So for me, and like so many other people that if you ever talk to them who are in this industry, I stumbled into it. Strangely enough, I was in a consulting engagement, which was tons of fun. Met the girl who is now my wife. She told me I had to get off the road. And I was weirdly recruited to come to the insurance world by somebody that I would see at the gym every single morning at 5 a.m. And he just thought that purely based on the fact that I was disciplined enough to show up that early, that I might be good at this insurance game. Lo and behold, he was right. Wound up being a great, great decision. I was with that firm for 11 years and then still continuing it on today. So I just think it's funny how people fall into this space. And here I am. It's been a great industry for me.
Yeah. And I kind of feel the same way about sales. And of course, lawyers like to call it business development, but we know better. And you know, I didn't grow up hoping to be a salesman or to get into sales or coaching or teaching sales, but that's the weird world that we live in. We end up in things that we never would have thought of. So as far as like what inspired you to work with lawyers or get into that space? I mean, insurance is one thing, but insurance to lawyers and working in the legal community is a little bit unique. How did you fall into that space?
Yeah, good question. So the person who was setting up that firm that I was with, that was their bailiwick, was insurance for sophisticated law firms and accounting firms. And really the crux of it was that these firms have to spend a lot of money and a lot of time on a very necessary product, which is their malpractice insurance. It can be entirely confusing. It can be entirely expensive. But if we were good at what we do or good at what we did at that firm in particular, we could soak up a good bit of the market share. We were focused on nothing else other than legal malpractice insurance or accountant's professional liability insurance. Those kinds of things are one and the same, malpractice and professional liability for either accounting firms or law firms. We were just extremely laser focused on that. And it seemed to work out quite well. So I kind of stumbled into the space, but that was back in 2005, and I haven't left it because it's been good to me for a variety of reasons. And I also like saying I'm in specialty lines, which is a little more fun, at least from my perspective, than selling homeowners or life insurance and things like this.
Gotcha. And, you know, I know you mentioned, you know, expensive, and you mentioned challenging to get through and all that. What are kind of the, all lawyers need insurance. I mean, what kinds of challenges and issues do they typically struggle with, and how do you specifically help them at MBroker?
Sure. So, you know, I think it depends on the firm. We tend to get at MBroker a lot of firms that are between, let's say, solo attorneys all the way up to 30 attorneys. And then we have, you know, a handful of firms that are above that. And that buyer journey or what they're looking to accomplish varies quite a bit. So in terms of the confusion points or the pain points or why they come to us, it can be a couple of different reasons. Sometimes people come to us because they just have a broker that they've outgrown or who is a generalist, and they really don't know if they're getting good service, what that broker is doing to kind of earn their keep beyond just sending them a quote and asking them to buy it every single year. They haven't thought strategically about how to protect their risk. And because if something goes wrong and really gets off the rails, the equity value that all those lawyers have built so many years building up can really get blown away. So sometimes firms are outgrowing that. Other times firms are just looking to kick the tires and see where they can get a better deal. And then other times they are looking at somebody who can just do all the handholding, right? So they just realize that insurance is not something that they want to deal with, but it's something that they absolutely need. So they're happy to kind of offload it to somebody as long as that person is trustworthy or that entity is trustworthy, who can handle it and get it done for them. And then in terms of what we're doing at MBroker, there's a variety of different things. So again, depending on what that customer wants, we can take a very hands-on white glove approach and dive into the policy details, dive into what the firm's exposures are and how to make sure we get an insurance policy that handles their needs. That goes everything from the malpractice insurance policy to the cyber policy to their business owner's policy, all these insurance jargon pieces that come together to protect the firm pretty nicely. And then on the other end of the spectrum, if people just want a policy that can be done quickly and very cost effectively, we have digital insurance products, which have been a tremendous boost to our company and to what we're doing in this industry.
Gotcha. And, you know, one thing that I know your firm does really well is that you guys sort of practice what you preach. So there are specific business development tactics that you guys, you know, use to drive your business. And I think there might be some synergies with what lawyers need to do. And I obviously work with lawyers all the time. And are there some technologies or some things that you use that you think lawyers could learn from?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, your podcast here is about growth, which I think is awesome. We're keen on that in MBroker too. And interestingly enough, I mean, we think of insurance as a way and a backstop so that you can go out there and grow your firm and do it in a healthy manner and grow that top of line and then backstop being the insurance, you can make those practices. But yeah, because we are a technology company, we do things and have adopted a lot of sales processes that I think a traditional professional services firm, like a law firm, wouldn't necessarily think of, but they have been massively helpful for us. So it really starts with an adoption of technology. So we use, at MBroker, we use Salesforce. We use a number of other tools to help us, you know, schedule things as simple as calendar times and entries and when we book meetings, right? Things that are very, very basic. And then things that get more complex in terms of finding the right segment of people we want to go after and being very, very strategic in our approach to them, our messaging to them, being specific in our messaging to them, and then helping them get into our fold, or at least we can start having a conversation with them. And we also start thinking about things in terms of stages and where they are in that buying cycle. So if you think of a funnel, we want to get the right number of people into the top of that funnel, realizing that some people are going to drop out because we're just not the right fit for them or vice versa. And then eventually bringing them in as a customer, nurturing them and keeping them as a customer for a long, long time. So because we are in this legal tech world, we also, at least I do, tend to see a lot of other tools that are out there. So for example, we are the endorsed or the preferred broker for Clio, the large practice management software. And they have something, for example, now called Clio Grow, which lawyers can use and adopt that. So that kind of technology that I think lawyers could take advantage of and start thinking strategically about how to actually grow their business is something that we've been ahead of the curve on and has been very, very powerful for not only my vertical, but the other verticals around us too at the company.
Gotcha. And, you know, technology is one thing, but I know that also networking is something that you are very active in. And I thought maybe as a fun exercise, you know, we could just, you know, talk through what are some, you know, really good ways to network to try to find new business or try to identify good strategic partners. So if you're okay with it, if you're willing to take me up on this, I think, you know, between us, we could probably come up with five fairly easily. Is there one that pops into your head that you do on a regular basis to ensure that you are getting in front of new people all the time?
Oh, sure. I mean, the one that I do not do well enough that I probably should, because it always helps, is asking new customers and current customers kind of after they've made the purchase how we did, and then just reminding them or asking them that, hey, if you think we did a pretty good job, like, you know, tell your friends or there's certain people that you think might benefit from this too. I'm happy with myself when I do it, and it almost always yields one or two referrals. And I kind of kick myself when I'm in a, you know, kind of a groove of not doing it well enough. So that would be first and foremost, I think.
Yeah, I think that's good. And then also, I don't know if you do this, but I also like to ask for, you know, ask for like a LinkedIn recommendation or a testimonial if they're willing to say, look, this was, you know, for you would be like, this was super easy. You saved me money. You made this like a totally different experience. And they're telling you that, like, it's the perfect time to then say, well, look, if you're so happy and I appreciate that, I'm thrilled, you know, would you be open to, you know, writing a nice recommendation on my LinkedIn or for my, you know, for my company's website or something like that? Is that something you guys have done?
We have. And actually we've taken it a step further, especially in our early days, because Embroker, you said we're a venture backed company. We're still fairly young. We're about, you know, 5 years old. We really did a lot of case studies early on, and those were awesome. So what we did was we would go out to, you know, a new client, and we kind of had a formula in terms of what we called the buyer journey. And we would just help fill in the blanks for them. Say, like, how did you come to us? What was the current state? What was the end state after we got involved? And, you know, here's how you felt after having moved to us. And then we published those on our website. A lot of them are still there. And those were great. That's another one we probably should do a little bit more of. But yeah, those case studies were great for us. And I would recommend it to anybody. Super easy to put up on a website. Super easy to kind of pass around as a PDF to just show people what you've done.
Gotcha. And I know something that you and I have done, and I think is a great networking tactic, is getting together with someone who has a similar client base. Well, you work with lawyers, I work with lawyers, and actually, you know, talk through lawyers that I know and lawyers that you know, and trying to identify a couple that, you know, are kind of fit the bill or fit the, you know, the profile of who you're looking to meet. So, you know, solo to 20, 30 attorneys, you know, do I know the managing partner? If so, who's that? And then maybe getting coached in how do I introduce you in? Because obviously, you know, they already have insurance if they're established. But again, to identify maybe some pain points or some reasons why they might be open to looking at a different, you know, different or going in a different direction. So is that something that you try to do, or do you have another angle on that?
Yeah, we do that a little bit. And I think something you taught me just years ago when you worked with us was, you know, you can't be greedy. And so anytime I've tried to do this, I've tried to be the one who is always offering and never asking. And then it seems to be that, you know, what goes around comes around, right? So that was one of the key things that you instilled in me early on, was just to be a good source for people to really look to help them out. And if you do good by people, they're going to do good right back by you. So yeah, I mean, I had a call like that earlier this week. There's somebody who is in the Chicagoland area and does a bit of work with kind of mid-size law firms. And she and I hit it off fabulously. And I think I gave her three or four referrals this week. And, you know, didn't ask for a single thing in return, but I'm sure she's going to help me out too. So being selfless, I think, goes a long way. So kudos to you for instilling me with that one.
Yeah. And again, I know you do this too, but like the other thing is with your clients, obviously if you're helping someone in legal and you know, you can help them with their insurance, yes. But if you could network with them and help them find a lateral or help them find another vendor for technology or a marketing person or whatever it might be, or even business potentially. That's another great way not only to network with your clients, but also to add value for them so that they're going to feel good about you. And I don't know how many insurance people are really doing that. I work with a number of insurance people and hopefully they're not listening, but they're not into that game. Like they're not interested in anything like that with me. So have you found that to be successful?
Yeah. I mean, one thing that I learned very early on in my first job, because all we did was we're so laser focused, was that if you can be, if you can help be a provider or a source of expertise on something to the industry beyond simply insurance, then you're instantly a better advocate or a better provider than the next guy. Right. So if you could talk to them about referral sources or networking or other, other vendors they might use, or just a tidbit of information or even, gossipy type information about what else is going on in the industry that they might not have heard of, then all of a sudden you're kind of elevated beyond somebody who's merely providing a service into somebody who's really an advocate and somebody who, might get a phone call from that client because they need help for reasons other than insurance. So it helps me stay top of mind a little more often than, maybe just the once a year when this insurance renewal pops up.
Gotcha. And I know hearing you speak recently that I don't want to say negative about insurance, but I think you're a realist about it and some of the pitfalls of insurance, because we all pay it for different things. And I don't think anybody, I mean, granted, unless you have some catastrophic thing happen or you continually get in car accidents or you get sued regularly, things like that. We all feel kind of bent out of shape about insurance and that it seems like it's just a way for insurance carriers to get rich and we're all kind of paying in. What are your kind of feelings about that? And what does the insurance industry look like in the future? What do you see changing?
Oh yeah. So, I mean, I think you were using kind of kid gloves with me for talking about insurance industry, but it's awful. I think it's one of the reasons that we're here at InBroker is because we know that people hate buying insurance. It is terrible. It's too expensive. It's too confusing. It takes far too much time. And, I think any kind of feelings people have towards it is that, save for the few special circumstances, that it really stinks. And that's a big reason that drew me to InBroker is because we realized that and put that front and center. We're trying to make the buying experience be so much better. And we're also trying to make it be more cost effective. So one of the things that people are paying for when they're buying these insurance policies are, the various rungs in the chain of distribution and people that have to get paid. The golf tournaments that you see on TV, your premiums are going towards that. And if we could find a way to streamline the way that insurance is handled and pass those savings along to the customer, then that would be a win. And that's what we're doing for law firms, right? So what you're seeing now, and I think this is where insurance will go to, is that, that underwriter or team of underwriters who are all making, $100,000 or more at a minimum, we can replace some of those people, at least on the standard kind of risk, with algorithms. And so what you'll see with us is kind of what like Geico maybe did many, many years ago, which is where you can come to an application that's done online. You can still speak to any broker and they'll give you the kind of expertise you want. But as soon as you start pumping in information, we're only going to ask for the critical pieces that actually fluctuate the price. And we'll give you a price immediately. You can change your limits, deductibles, all the policy features you want, see how that premium moves, and then purchase it. And if you want to talk to somebody, great. And if you feel like you just want to do it yourself, that's fine too. But by injecting technology and removing some of those overhead things, we can make the process so much better. And that's really resonated with our clients. So that's been good. So no problem bashing the insurance industry. it's a necessary, it's the biggest industry in the world. It is absolutely necessary for the economy to have insurance, but it doesn't have to be so painful. So it's been a lagging industry in terms of adoption of technology. We're trying to change that.
Gotcha. And so the future of insurance looks like what in 2, 5, 10 years? What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, it's still going to be there. I do think that the premiums will start to, hopefully, at least for lawyers, come down. And I think that the folks like us are trying to really drive that change. I think that it should be handled much more online. There is a lot of kind of copycat suitors out there doing what a broker is doing because it makes sense, right? We're not the first ones to think of this. Certainly, we're not the last. So yeah, I think for the small and middle-sized law firms, the ability to buy insurance digitally, do it quick and easy, and know that the provider you're getting it from is legitimate. I think those numbers will go up and up. I think that for larger law firms, the sophisticated broker who comes into your office and provides good advice, that'll still remain. I mean, looking at risk for a 300 attorney firm is much different than looking at risk for a 3-person or even a 30 attorney firm. So yeah, that would be my prediction. I mean, I think insurance is certainly not going anywhere. Cyber insurance is probably going to creep up in importance, but I think you'll see a lot more technology being injected into the space to the benefit of the consumer, which is great.
Gotcha. So a lawyer that's listening to this podcast says, you know what? What Brad's saying makes a lot of sense. I'm going to give it a shot. I want to talk to him. How do people get in touch with you or get to your website, things like that?
Sure. So you can check us out at mbroker, mbroker.com. And you can sign up there. There is a specific landing page for law firms, certainly, where you can find a bunch of content geared towards lawyers. You can find me on my LinkedIn profile, searching Brad Barkin and mbroker will land you right there. And yeah, would love to take on any phone calls or listen to people or talk them through anything they might need.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show. I think, you know, you're hopefully opening some people's eyes to a better way to do insurance, and hopefully they'll think of you when it's time to do that. So appreciate your coming on the show.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Steve.
Sure. And everybody, thanks for listening. Hopefully you're all doing okay with the zombie apocalypse. We're all staying safe and healthy. And I just hope you enjoyed listening to Brad and I, chat it up today. And it helps you to get one step closer to being that lawyer, someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer. Life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, fretson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.